For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Pray that tonight would understand something. Yeah, I want to really understand the word. It's just too important. I believe this is a linchpin, or it's going to be a turning point, something in our lives if we are able to understand the word tonight. So pray for yourself. Father, we thank you. Pray for our hearts. Say, Lord, give me an eye that can see, an ear that can hear, and a heart that can understand. In the name of Jesus, deliver me from every spiritual blindness, Lord, so that I can see, Lord, and I can understand, and I can hear. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Father, release your angels of revelation upon us tonight, to God. We need it. We need it. We need your angels of revelation, oh God, to break down your word to us, oh Father, so that we'd understand, Lord, and would be imparted. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, Reverend is at a conference. Can you believe it? Yeah. So this, I was in Philly. I went to do some visitation in the morning. And then I was in Philly the whole day. So I just ate my dinner. Anyway, so we thank God for the word of God. Amen. Amen. And are you excited about prophets coming? If you want to miss anything in the world, this is one of the things you should never miss. Yeah. If you miss, it's like you just want 98% of your life to be gone. So let's not miss it. Amen. And he's also going to be in Yaden. Most of us will be in our churches, so, but at least Delaware, all right? He's going to be in Newark, Delaware, on Friday. You know, Saturday, isn't it? Saturday. So it's going to be, yeah. And then Sunday morning, most of us will be in church, so at least try and be in church, or else your pastor will be like, where are you then? You say, I hate. And then Sunday evening, wow! He's going to crown it all in this area, the Delaware, Pennsylvania area, right here, amen. So we'd have a powerful, powerful service, and I'm excited about it. Yeah. Amen. Nice, nice. So Reverend has been teaching us on chapter 11 about the mystery of impartation. He started it last week and would revise it a little bit. All right? The mystery of impartation. And last week he told us that impartation, it's a mystery, because it's not something that, you know, you can put in a test tube. See, when you say something is a mystery, it means that the thing happens, you know, but you don't know how the thing happens. You get it? Yeah. Things that you can't say if 1 + 1, and then when you add it to be equal to 2. Impartation is not like that. It's not something that you can actually put facts to it, you know. Like you are learning your 5 facts, 5, 10, 15, things. You cannot do that for impartation. It's a mystery. It happens. But how it happens, you can't really put it in a test tube, you see. And Bishop was teaching us on Sunday that in church, there are two things that you can receive. All right? You can receive an instruction. And we are used to receiving instructions. And we know what 2 Timothy 3:16, Dr. C.R., isn't it? Yeah. It's for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. So we are used to the Word of God doing these things. But Bishop went further to tell us that the Word of God also, when you come to church, there's something called prophecy. Yes. Or when the man of God is prophesying. And that one is not doctrine. It's not a correction. It's not a reproof. It's not an instruction. It's something that is said. And you, the child of God, must believe it. And when you believe it, then that thing is activated in your life. You get it? So that is how the Word of God is. You get with an impartation. It's mysterious. You don't know how it happens. It's not, you can't put things to it and say that I'm going to do like this and like that and then this will happen. You get it? But it happens. And, you know, as much as possible, Bishop is trying to teach us how we can be imparted. You get it? Because coming to church and listening to the doctrine, listening to the correction, listening to the reproof, listening to the instruction, listening to the prophecy, and you are not imparted, then it is useless. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Yes. When you come to church, your mind should be that not only am I going to be taught or am I going to be, you know, instructed, but I'm also going to be what? Imparted. Yes. Impartation is different. When impartation comes on you, when a doctrine is spoken, when you are imparted, you have the ability to do that which the doctrine is saying. You see the difference? Yeah. Do you understand it? Yes. When you are imparted, when the prophecy is coming forth and you say amen to it, the prophecy becomes activated in your life and that thing becomes alive in you. And then it begins to bear forth fruit. That's an impartation. You get it? So that is one of the things that sometimes when we come to church, we miss out. Because we come to church and we know that there's an instruction, there's a correction. Yeah? Like, let's say if I preach a message about tithing, like as Reverend is preaching, he can preach. And then at the end of the day, the same people who pay tithe will be the same people who are paying tithe. But when an impartation comes into a person's life, you get it? If you come to church with a heart of, I want to be imparted, as soon as that word concerning paying tithe is preached, you have the ability, nobody will even stress it. You yourself say, no, I'm coming to pay my tithe starting from that particular Sunday. Yes. Yeah. So that is the power. Impartation is powerful. Amen. Yes. That's the power of impartation. You get it? The power of impartation. So let's rather move away from just coming to church and hearing the doctrine, the correction, the reproof, the instruction, and the prophesying. And let's move to the point where when the doctrine is coming, when the correction is coming, when the reproving is coming, when the instruction is coming, when the prophecies are coming, we are imparted. Wow. Yeah. See, and then you see that then things will begin to change. Yeah. Wow. Something's happening. I didn't like paying my tithe, now I'm paying my tithe. I didn't feel like living a holy life. Now, in fact, when you even talk about sin, I'm annoyed. Yeah? That's impartation. I'm telling you. But when it's not there, the pastor can preach. You see, these you young girls and boys fornicate, he can talk. Still. See that the fornication is still going on. Hey! increases with the weather. Mercy. Amen. So, Reverend read a scripture here, isn't it? Romans 1, 9 to 13 says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Now without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." And then Paul said, "For I long to see you." The man of God was longing, my God, "that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." It means that the man of God was carrying something. Yeah. You get it? Until he gets there and releases the thing, then it's not going to happen. Yeah. So he says, "I have something." Like I said, "I'm coming to your house today, and I have some nice things that I've bought and I've put in my car. And when I come to your house, I'm going to give you those things. So until I come to your house, the things will still be in my car." So Paul was saying, "I long to see you so that I may what? Impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established." Hey, we thought that establishment comes from principle this and something that. But we are learning here that establishment can come from an impartation. Hey, I'm telling you. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Amen. So, Reverend started teaching us, you know, the first thing that we need to do to be imparted. He says the mystery of impartation occurs when you what? See the anointed. When you see the anointed, you see. And you may think that seeing the anointed means that you are just physically seeing the person, or, you know, sometimes we talk about video dimensions and all that, you know. So you can be in your house, you can have a video on, or maybe you can travel to where the man of God is and the man of God is preaching and all those things. But you can do that and you still not be imparted. Wow. Yes. Because the seeing is not just like physical seeing or seeing the person on the video. You get it? You can see somebody with your spiritual eyes. That's the part that you need to get. You get it? When you meet a man of God, you begin to have some spiritual eyes and antennas that begin to come off. You see? And when your spiritual eyes and antennas begin to come off, that blindness is taken away. And then the Matthew 10:41 scripture begin to become real in your life, where you begin to see the man maybe as a prophet or this or that. And then as you begin to see the person in their right rank, you are imparted. Yeah. So it's a very, 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 very spiritual thing. Not just watching videos and, you know, I've been just watching video and waiting for an impartation because I'm just watching the video. It is more than that. It is more than just doing the physical thing or being in a physical place with a person. You have to begin to see. Like what did Elisha see? Yeah, Elisha saw something. It wasn't the man of God's cloak. He saw beyond the thing, the physical. He saw something. You get it? So when Elijah said, "Look, if you can see me go," he saw something. And that is what imparted him. That's what released the anointing. You get it? That's what released the anointing. So we in the church, we need to begin to what? See. Because you can be in a church and you can be still very blind. Yes. God can give you an anointed man. God can give you an anointed pastor. There can be anointings walking around you and you are not seeing. You can just be, you know, treating the whole thing casual is one of those things, you know, who cares? And you get it. Because you are not seeing. Wow. Yes. But we don't want to fulfill the scripture in John 12, chapter 40, isn't it? Where it says that what? In seeing, they see not. And in hearing, and in understanding. Yes. So that they'll be what? Healed and they'll be converted. Yeah, so you can be seen and you are not seen. And that's why, let's read Mark 8, 22. As I was going through, it says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes. No, understand with their heart and be converted. And I should heal them. But let's read the Mark 8. Have you ever thought of this scripture before? It's one of the scriptures in the book, you know. So as I was going through it, I thought that was very exciting. Mark 8, 22. It's in the chapter 13 that I said we should all be reading, all right? The chapter 13. Try and study it by yourself, all the 22 miracles of Jesus. So Mark 8, 22 is one of it. And it says this, talking about Jesus. And he cometh unto Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. So here was Jesus. He came to Bethsaida, and then they brought him a blind man. All right? So let's keep going. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. You've come to my city. I've been brought to you. Then he said, no. Let's leave this city. Yes. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Wow. 26. And he sent him away to his house and said, and saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. What is the problem with Bethsaida? Cry that Jesus saw this man. Say, you are blind. I don't want to even heal you here. We are leaving town. And then I take you out. We go out. You get healed. Then I tell you that don't go back. Don't go back. Yeah. And it's very simple. In Matthew, then I realized that the solution was in Matthew 11. All right? In Matthew 11, 26. Yeah. 21. In Matthew 11, 21, Jesus began to look at that. He says, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Yes. So the whole people were blind. The whole city. Spiritually, they couldn't see. You get it? So we are talking about seeing, you know. Jesus was there doing mighty works. Bethsaida, they couldn't see. They were as blind as the blind man who was blind. So the man was like, Jesus was like, look, even to heal this physical condition, let me take you out of this spiritually blind people and let me remove you from this city so that you can be somewhere that even you can receive your miracle. Yeah. And it's happening to us. It is happening to us. You can be in a church and you are not seeing. You can be like Bethsaida, spiritual Bethsaida, eyes totally closed as the anointing is walking around, as the ability to do great things. I mean, this is as Bishop is preaching, I begin to feel that there's something really wrong with this. There's something really wrong with his children. There's something really wrong with his children. And yesterday, as he was prophesying, Sunday, as he was prophesying, and he was saying that, look, my ability to do these things shows that the children also should be able to do some. Yes. But if we are blind, like the people in Bethsaida, even when there's healing to be done, Jesus will say, look, I'm taking you out of the city. Yeah. And don't even go back there. Because if you go back there, you even be more blind. More blind. He knew that if the man goes there, you are physically blind. Now you are going to even be spiritually blind. And it's going to get worse. So don't go back. Don't go back to those blind people. Hey! So we need to see you. Are you understanding? We need to really see. Yes. And that's what happened to Elisha in 2 Kings 2:9 and 10, isn't it? He saw something. Wow. He saw something. Let's read the last paragraph here. He says, watch with heightened alertness as soon as you see the anointed operating in his anointing. See the characteristics that make the anointed person anointed. For instance, what are the elements that reveal the anointing in the anointing? You see, when you begin to do some of these things, blindness is being taken away. Then you look at the person, hey, look, this man is very anointed. This person is very anointed. Very anointed. But if you can't see, then the thing will be around you. Then you will become like people suffering from spiritual diabetes. The thing will be swimming around and nothing will be going. The man of God will be preaching. We'll have the books. We'll have the tapes. We'll have it. Right now, everything is even a radio. You go to videos.org. It's there. You go to what? Audio.org. The camps are there. I mean, you go to everything.org or some. There's everything. And now there's a website. Remember, Stasha, we made website for everything. There's one for marriage. There's one for everything under the sun. And afterwards, I remember we worked on the translations. That now there's a website for every language that you can think of. Wow. And it's all there. And then you can see that we can easily develop spiritual diabetes. Where the thing is flowing, the anointing is around, but we are not seeing. Then you become like the people in Bethsaida. And Jesus is saying, no, even I can't do miracles among these people. Ah, they are too blind. They are too blind. He says, what are the unusual or supernatural elements that are operating in this anointed person's anointing? Wow. He says, I laugh at you if you think that the only supernatural element of an anointed person are when people fall down or when people scream in their service. No, 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 no. Perhaps that is the smallest part of the manifestation of the anointing on the anointed. Small. It's not that somebody has fallen. Then you say, oh, this is anointing. Anointing is greater than that. Yeah, the anointing can bring an impartation and a real change. Amen. In a person's life. That you can even be as bad. I mean, this is when I'm hearing the testimonies, I'm like, hey, these young boys are wild. They are wild. It's not a joke. Oh. They have levels of sins. Yeah. Hey, the other one there says, he doesn't sleep with not less than 3 women in a day. So like breakfast, lunch, supper, dinner. If he has a woman, then in the evening, there's like all night. What? Oh my goodness. Levels of sin. But they are becoming pastors. They are becoming pastors. They are in an Akazo Bible school. This is anointing. That is anointing. Yes. Takes an anointing for a young man who was addicted to pornography. Loves, even pornography was his ringtone. So when his phone goes off, it's a woman who is, hey! What a shock! My goodness! It's too much. Even your phone going off is a naked woman. Hey! Shabaya! Wow. But he's becoming a pastor. He's becoming a pastor. This is real anointing. And that's what we need to have. We need that impartation. So that when we are dealing with the people, it's not there falling under the power. But what we are preaching and teaching and sharing, 360 degrees changes them. It's like they are going this way, then suddenly they're in the other direction. Amen. So watch out. Amen. And let's begin to see. Are you going to see? Yeah. Just pray for your eyes. Say, Lord, remove the blindness. Because you can be with good things and you can't see. It's like some wives. But I shouldn't go there. Should I? I shouldn't go there. I should go. I should talk to the wives. The wives who are not seeing. Yeah, you have such a good husband, you can't see. Every day you are saying something. Hey. God has given you a Christian husband. He's dedicated to you. He's not chasing other women. He's not bringing women in the bedroom. He's not staying out late. You are still complaining. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I should just stay there. You gotta see, girl. You gotta what? You gotta see, girl. You gotta see. Amen. And then the next one will end with that, all right? This is, Reverend doesn't preach long, so we are all learning it. Wednesday meeting, short. Yeah. We are learning from our Father. So that our Wednesday meetings won't drag. Says the mystery of the impartation occurs when you hear the anointed. When you hear the anointed. Hearing is also not just with the ears. Yeah. Not just that, you know, you are listening to the makane and you are listening to, I mean, what are some of the messages on the market? Cryptos man. Say, I'm listening to the cryptos man. So I'm just soaking in. Then you are just there with your, you know, earphones and bobbing your head. Ah, yeah. It's more than that. It's more than listening to the cryptos man and just bobbing or praying with it or something. But here, oh, what is life? Pastor, what is your life? And just, you know, there's another level of hearing. Yeah. There are levels. Spiritual things, there are levels. Levels. In Psalm 46, verse 10, what did the Lord say? Say, be still and know that I am God. Yeah. Be what? Still and know that I am God. So when you are hearing, when you are listening to a message, you can go deep into that message. You get it? Yeah. You see, because if you are just, your mind is somewhere, you are smelling the food and you are waiting for, you get what I'm saying? And you are listening to the message, you would get something, but you may not receive that impartation that I'm just trying to talk about. You see, you may receive something. You may understand something, you are hearing something, but if you also want to receive that thing that suddenly you begin to feel some stirrings in your spirit. Wow. Yes, the word is coming, then you begin to feel some stirring, then it's like something is doing you. Yeah. Because only the things I do you are only lobby, 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 lobby kind of things. Oh, my love, you know, that's it. Look, you can be listening to the word and the word of God will be what? Doing you. Yes. Happening to you. And that one, you have to be what? Still. So you are there, soaking the thing in, and then you are in another dimension. Yeah. It is those times that you can really receive an impartation. And when it comes, you know that it's come. Like Bishop is teaching us. He says Isaiah 11 verse 2 becomes real in your life. You see that the spirit of what? Understanding has suddenly come on you. And he said that the word that the person is preaching, or the word that the person is teaching, or whatever that the person is saying, suddenly you see that you are empowered by the whole thing. And you have the ability to do what that particular thing is saying. Yeah. That's the difference. So if it's a message on walk in love, you can be listening and still people are annoying you. But when you receive an impartation, it's different. Because sometimes I look at certain men of God, I'm like, I mean, don't they get upset about something? You see that they have become very fine. Yeah. Yeah. You understand when I say they become very fine? They become very, very, very fine. They are not irritated by this and that and this and every day I've done something, I've said, they, no. You see something that they are like Jesus. It's different though. Very, very different. See, they have the Christ-like thing. They have the Christ-like thing. It's because of an impartation. Because you can be sweating, trying, me, I'm finding it difficult to forgive people, Lord. Hey, these things, this Christian work is so difficult to, everything is hard, oh. Yeah. But when an impartation comes, it becomes different. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you my story, how I was such a bad mother? Hey, I was a bad mother. Champion. Champion bad mother. Champion bad mother. I mean, my children used to irritate me. I'm not even joking. Irritate. No, that's how irritate. Irritate me. Irritated. Why? So when they do something, then I'll just rain curses on them. Hey! I was a very bad mother. Very bad mother. Bad, bad. Yeah? But one day.
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 One day. I was trying to be still and know that God is God. And I had a message. And I was listening to the message. And I was praying. In the middle of the night. Then suddenly. 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 It was like power. I don't know what kind of power. Some power from heaven. I was under the power for, I don't even know how long, but the next thing, it was morning. Wow. And when I got up, these children who used to irritate me, that I'm just raining curses. My own children, know. Can you imagine? How can you be raining curses on your children? What do you want to happen to them? Wow. When my little son, when I'm talking about it, sometimes he feels very teary. Yes, because anytime he can, I'm like, get out of here. Just get out. Just go to the basement or something. Just go to the basement. Just go to the basement. You know? This same mother. Wow. Now I can't love them enough. Hey! And then now when my son sees he's running away, he says, the love is too much. It's just too much. Hey, have you listened to the song Excess Love by that Nigerian young lady? Yesterday when he saw me, I said, no. I said, no, mommy, no. Because he knows that either I'm going to hug him, kiss him, do something. Hey, this same bad mother. And from that day, I was changed. Wow. And they themselves testified that their mother had changed. Amen. It's an impartation. That's what we need. Amen. I think, don't you think we should end here? No. That's what touch there is too powerful. Wow. Says the mystery of impartation occurs when you touch the anointed. 1 Timothy 5:22. Touch is not just, you know. Touch is not just like physically, so you've just done, you know. That's why Paul went on to say that by what? The mutual faith. Yeah. There's a big difference with the woman of the issue of blood, her touch, and then all the disciples around their touch. Very, very, very different. And when you are a pastor, isn't it? Pastor Morris, Pastor Kobe, you know it. You know it when you are praying for somebody and the person is receiving, and when you are just praying because it's just being, you are just praying. It's different. And I have always seen that when I have mutual faith with a person and I'm praying for the person, I don't ever remember that prayer wasn't answered. I don't remember. Like I'm with the person that the person has faith, I have faith, and then I'm praying and we are, and I feel something leave me and the thing has entered into you and then the prayer wasn't answered. I don't remember. All the time. Whatever we were praying about or whatever, the thing gets answered. Because it's not just touch. Oh, I have touched you. So you've received an anointing. Or the person, it is not like that. It is a release that comes. Yeah. And you just feel it flow out of you. And the person feels it enter them. It's a mystery. And it works. So let's desire those things, amen. And this coming convention, or is it a convention or a service or what is it? What? Encounter. Uh-huh. This coming prophetic encounter. Let's really also open up our spirit. And anytime you also go to church, don't just go to church and let it be one of those things. Open up your spirit. I'm here to receive an invitation. Yeah. And that will make a difference in your life. Amen. Amen. We'll end here. We'll end here. Cry. Wow. Reverend has taught us that we don't need to end at 9 o'clock. It's Wednesday. All right. So get your offerings.